capitalism in motion there, as you can hear. Volkswagen, who have a big operation in South Africa, for the first time closing down plants in Germany because they're just not doing well enough. Rob Hershoff is a global entrepreneur, calling himself nowadays a capitalist activist. Hey, I like that, Rob. Second time in a couple of weeks that we've had you on the show. I'm going to talk about your column, which is being very well received by the BizNews community. But before we go there, you gave us some really good insight on the proposed Springbok Rugby deal with a private equity firm. Has there been any response to those discussions that we had here?
Yeah, I had a short chat with Gayton one-on-one on the Sorry deal. And Gayton said to me, look, Rob, you know, it's not a perfect deal, but it's a deal. And, you know, if you think it's so bad, why don't you put up a better deal yourself? And he's right, you know, we should come to whomever is interested in competing with the Ackley deal should come to the table with a better deal. And I said, well, I'd sign the Ackley deal as it is right now. It's so good for Ackley and so weak for Saru. And then Gayton said, you know, and on the 15% commission, if Saru are stupid enough to sign a 15% commission, good luck for the guys who are getting the commission, which I suppose in some ways is true. But Saru is a national asset. The Springboks are a national asset. And it's not for amateurs like Mark Alexander and his team to give away the farm. There are so many smart people in South Africa that would have, you know, advised him for free. And I always say Investec and RMB, but, you know, there are tons of investment bankers in our midst in the BizNews tribe that I'm sure would spend a couple of days for free working with Mark Alexander to improve the deal with Ackley on behalf of the Springboks and behalf of Saru in South Africa. So it's just, you know, it's like kindergarten children up against wolves. That's what's happened. And Ackley did message me and said, I'm sorry, Rob, that you don't agree with it. You don't like the deal. And I said, no, I think you guys have done an unbelievable job. You rolled over Saru. I mean, Saru are hot babes in the woods compared to you. And he said, okay, noted. So, you know, do I want to make the effort to compete with Ackley on the deal? No, but there are much better entities than myself, global and South African, that should be stepping up, particularly some of the people who signed the union letter. So let's see what happens.
We wanted to talk to you this morning, nice and bright and early, and lovely to see the weather in Cape Town's spectacular.
It's Paternoster.
Paternoster, where is that, Rob?
Paternoster's up the west coast, 2 hours from Cape Town. And Nick Ferguson and I have just done a very big real estate transaction on the coast quite near here, which we'll tell you about, you know, in a few months' time. But I came up here with my beloved wife, Katie, who's just gone for a run down the beach, to show her my new folly.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, let's hope it's not a folly, Rob, and nice to see you investing in South Africa. So clearly
in the
Western Cape. In the Western Cape. Okay. Capitalism. Capitalism works. Socialism doesn't. You spent a bit of time thinking about that, and then you wrote a piece that we published yesterday with a fabulous cartoon, by the way. And the thrust of that is really to try and perhaps help with the education process, financial education process. And you go back to 1989, at which time the end of history. Capitalism won, socialism didn't. We saw what has happened subsequent to that. Socialism's made a huge comeback, maybe by those who don't have long memories. So you have to start the process, the education process, all over again, I presume.
100%. After the Second World War and after the Cold War, socialism had clearly failed. Socialism and communism were defunct, evil, destructive systems, and everybody knew it. And capitalism was the only way forward. And a huge success. And it was just too clear to everyone. And here we are, you know, decades later, and young people still believe socialism hasn't been tried properly. And it's been leftist, communist and leftist propaganda that has infiltrated our institutions of learning, our universities and our schools, where teachers and professors are saying socialism hasn't been tried properly. And it's ludicrous. And about 4 years ago, I was walking through the V&A Waterfront Mall, and there was a Vodacom pop-up you know, group of students wearing Vodacom shirts, handing out pamphlets and everything. And I walked up and I said, this is great. This is capitalism on display. And this one student said to me, female, she said, no, we don't believe in capitalism. I said, what? She said, well, socialism hasn't been tried properly. And I went, this is extraordinary. Where did you learn this? At UCT. And, you know, I mentor a number of young, mainly black, mainly males, who sort of ask, will you spend time mentoring me? And it's not a scalable project, but I do take on people I like. And Jabu, you know Jabu. You know, he's like a younger brother now. And all of them have been told socialism hasn't been tried properly. And no one has read about The Invisible Hand. No one's read Adam Smith. You know, no one's actually spent the time, had the opportunity, or in school and university been given both options and shown the facts out in the outside world. And look at the facts are very simple. Cuba and Florida, they're, you know, a couple of hundred miles apart. Cuba had load shedding last week. Cuba's falling apart. Cuba is a socialist country. Florida is booming. East Germany and West Germany. Venezuela, you know, North Korea. I mean, you look at these countries that have adopted socialist policies where the government controls most economic decisions and almost all the property and assets in the country, failures. If you look at the happiness index of the country where people would most like to have been born, and the top 10, every single one of them is a capitalist country. The countries that have the innovation index, all of them are capitalist. All the facts show clearly capitalism works and socialism doesn't. And yet, people believe socialism hasn't been tried properly. It's devastating and it's terrifying.
But I guess it's also a challenge. It's a challenge to unwind a lot of the nonsense that certain people who grab hold of young minds can put into those minds. And I suppose if that's what you learned and that's what your university required you to write in your thesis, if you didn't, you would not get through it. You would not get past. And how does one, from your side, when you talk to a guy like Jabu or some of the others that you mentor, some of the other people you mentor, where do you start in explaining that perhaps the foundation of their knowledge is not on very strong strong grounds?
So when you go to children's, you know, younger children's school and you ask them what they want to do in life, what careers they want, they go fire, pilot, to, you know, nurse and whatever. It's all professional jobs because their little brains can understand that. But unfortunately, when you go to, you know, the broader population and say, who are your heroes? You know, what statues would you put up? It's generally politicians or regulators or people like that. It's not business people. But the greatest heroes on this planet are people like Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Richard Branson, Rupert Murdoch, Johann Rupert. I can go on and on and on. Extraordinary business people who, in most cases, like Steve Jobs, from nothing, built extraordinary business empires. And they should be the people we build statues about. Now, I get it. You know, Winston Churchill, you know, saved Europe from us all speaking German or being burned in ovens. But there are business people that should have statues put about them who have created extraordinary things in our lives and changed our lives for the better. We need to start lauding, and BizNews does this, broader than this, we need to start lauding and praising business people. Elon Musk, South African born, richest man in the world, one of the greatest entrepreneurs, has created Tesla, SpaceX, Starlink. That's a real hero, and we need to be promoting business heroes.
It's a if you were to take the market value of just Tesla and you compare that with the South African economy, it would stagger people in South Africa that Tesla's worth more than all the money we spend in a year in this economy. So it's quite extraordinary. We're going to talk to Kevin Lings later about the latest. We're going to talk to a little bit later to Kevin Lings about the latest developments that we've seen on the mini budget. And I hope that we get some insights there from from Kevin that the government is moving in a different direction. But Rob, we also saw this week that the Competition Commission has stepped in and has blocked Vodacom's proposed investment into a company called Massive. We also saw this week that it has blocked the proposed takeover by Sun International of Pyrmont Casinos. Pete Fillon yesterday said this is because it's run by socialists. They don't actually understand capitalism. What's your take on that?
He's 100% right. If you look at SARU, these are all administrators. They're not business people. If you look at our cabinet, how many business people are there? Now, Gwede Mantashe pretends that he is a business person because for 8 years he worked embarrassingly at Anglo-Vol Mining, where he learned his mining practice. But he's a member of the Communist Party, a published member of the Communist Party. What a moron. I mean, how can you have a minister of mines who claims he's been in business is still a member of the Communist Party? It's just muddled thinking at the highest level. And there are too many lawyers, too many regulators, too many bureaucrats, too many administrators, and not enough business people making decisions. You know, all my in-laws are lawyers in New Zealand. And I've launched Pacific Paddle, a paddle business in New Zealand. It's taken over a year, and we still don't have one court up yet. Now, we've signed some of the best leases in New Zealand, to the credit of our CEO there. He's been incredibly entrepreneurial. But you've got to get 20 different reports to build a paddle tennis court. It's not a 100-story building. It's a paddle tennis court. And New Zealand's overregulated. South Africa's overregulated. And unfortunately, what government attracts are regulators, lawyers, bureaucrats, not wealth creators. It's the wrong way around. I'd like to see way more business people like Elon Musk. If Trump wins, and I hope Trump wins, Elon Musk will be in charge of productivity and efficiency in government. I mean, isn't that a beautiful thing? And we need more of that. So we're on the back foot as capitalists, and we need to be back on the front foot again. We need to be promoting the fact that capitalism works and socialism doesn't, as widely as possible.
Rob, what are you hoping that the piece that you wrote for BizNews on this achieves?
Well, I hope it'll be posted as widely as possible. What I'd like to do is have more and more people, and there are people, you know, Martin van Staden, Ivo Vechter, yourself and others, there are qualified, smart journalists, intelligent people who are writing pieces like this. But we need to get into the universities and be lecturing these subjects to students, initially in the commerce departments, but more and more into the arts department, and debating these issues. You know, I would love to have a debate against Gwede Mantashe. I mean, he never shuts up, so someone would have to, you know, monitor the time. But I'd love to go head-to-head with him, even with Enoch, on this topic. But there are better qualified people than me, and they need to stand up and promote capitalism and tell the story to young people and not stop. It needs to be a daily, daily thing.
Open minds, no doubt. Rob Hirsoff, capitalist activist, thanks for your contribution today, as always. Rob is always happy to assist us and to guide us in the right direction.